This week, as we continue our walk through John's Gospel, I'm very pleased to be interacting with Dr. Mark Powell from the Harding School of Theology in Memphis, Tennessee.
You're listening to the Kingdom of Growth podcast. For more resources or to subscribe, be sure to check out our website at kingdomofgrowth.com.
Here today, we're going to talk about John chapter 15. And again, we have Dr. Mark Powell visiting with us about John chapter 15. You know, Mark, something that's interesting to me is we're coming out of chapter 14, where Jesus has been talking some about the Holy Spirit. He's talked about how he's going to leave his peace with us. He begins with this language about the Father, you know, being, or I guess he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. So we're talking about the importance of staying connected to Christ to empower us and to help us. But then he also moves into this direction of persecution, you know, the full expectation of the world hating us on his account, rejecting us on his account. It may even be the case that some people do evil things to us, believing that they're doing good because of their intense hatred for Jesus and who he is. So there is, to me, an interesting blend of comfort, but I see it as kind of a preemptive comfort, that some of the time things are going to be difficult. And as a Christian, being a follower of Jesus Christ, being saved by the blood of Christ, is not always going to spare me from hardship in this life. I see a lot of value in this text about being able to endure hardship rather than to entirely avoid hardship. So when I look at John chapter 15, those are some things that jump out at me, but I'm interested in hearing from you. What are some things in this chapter you would draw our attention to?
Right. So yeah, definitely that first section on I am the vine. Again, another one of these I am statements with the predicate nominative. So this is there's seven of these in John. This is another one of those I am statements. And it is interesting, just in light of what you said there in verse 2, he's talking about the Father as the gardener, but the Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Mm-hmm. So your options are being cut off or being pruned. And so even being in the vine or in, you know, Jesus is the vine or the branches. So being in the vine doesn't necessarily mean the absence of suffering, the absence of conflict, or being pruned to be more fruitful. Mm-hmm. And we've already seen how, for Jesus, he's going to be glorified in his death. You know, we can glorify God as we suffer. We shouldn't be surprised that we suffer. Jesus suffered. Jesus was rejected. If we're his followers, we too should expect, right, to be rejected and suffer just as Jesus was. So I think that is interesting. You have these two images, but the one with the vine and the branches, and really this might even be a way to think about how we endure suffering and persecution. We can endure that by remaining in Christ, by being in Christ. We have the nutrients, if we will, or we receive the resources we need to be able to endure and to glorify God if we remain in Christ. And so that's obviously a key thing I would want to just spend some time on there, the vine and the branches and the importance of us remaining in Jesus. And without him, we can do nothing. If we're not in Christ, we can't do anything. Mm-hmm. Another thing I think that is interesting, and this relates to this as well, is if you go to verse 16 in John chapter 15, there is some language in John about being chosen, us being chosen. Mm-hmm. He says in verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And so I think this language of choosing is interesting. Now, I teach theology, and you know that one of the big ongoing debates in theology has to do with election or choosing.
Right.
And you have the Calvinist vision where God ultimately chooses us. Even beyond our participation in that at all, it's unconditional, versus an Arminian position where you want to at least have enough freedom for humans to be able to accept God's call. And so sometimes when we get to language like this, we jump to the Calvinist-Arminian debate. But I would encourage us not to do that just yet, just to kind of hold off on that for a moment and just think of what this text is saying. We have been chosen by God. We've been chosen by Christ to be God's people. And this is one of these things, we don't choose God. God here chooses us. So it might be similar. You know, I want to have a dinner date. And so, and this could be male or female, but let's just say someone important, an important person. So whoever that important person may be for you. I'm a big NASCAR fan.
Right.
So I'm just going to throw out a name. I'm going to alienate any viewer, any listeners who are NASCAR fans. But Kyle Busch, let's just say, okay. I ask Kyle Busch, okay, or someone a little more respectable, you know, who to come and to have dinner with me. That'd be, I would be interested in that, or any NASCAR driver I'd be interested in. But I don't just choose them. They'd have to choose me to come do that. They have a lot of stuff going on. They have busy schedules. They have sponsors. They have to choose me.
Right.
If you want to have, you know, dinner with the president, or if you, you know, sometimes you'll see these stories where a teenager will ask some famous celebrity to go to the prom with them,
right,
and they do. Well, that's unusual, right? But typically, there are situations in life where we don't really choose someone else; they choose us.
Right.
And this is one of those situations. We don't say, "Hey, God, you're going to be our God, and we're going to be in fellowship with you." God chooses us. Okay, God chooses us to be His people, and I think that's the key thing to see here. So, I once had a student here at a Harding School of Theology who had this T-shirt that was supposed to represent the old Calvinist Arminian debate.
Right.
One side it says, this T-shirt chose me,
right.
That's Calvinism. And on the other side it said, I chose this T-shirt, that's Arminianism.
Right.
And all I want to say about that is that's just off in terms of biblical language. We never choose, and the T-shirt represents God. We don't choose God. God chooses us.
Right.
And so even apart from that debate, what I want us to see here is just the importance of that. That God has chosen us so that we can go out and bear fruit. And then you have another theme here that will show up. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And so I'm going to focus on that language because it shows up a lot, that we can ask things in Jesus's name and the Father will give it to us.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's even related to, we come to the Father through the Son. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But also the fact that now that we're in Christ, you know, we have fellowship with God. And when we ask God, He listens and He responds. And so that's another key verse there. If you go to verse 26 too, is another one I'd want to highlight as time permits, because there's just these little passages that tell us about the Holy Spirit. And this is another one. So when the advocate comes, once again, we see this language of the Parakletos, or the advocate, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father. He will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's just interesting to see how there is this unity of action between the Father, the Son, the Spirit. The Father sends the Spirit in Jesus' name, and He's going to testify about Jesus. There's a sense here that this work of the Spirit isn't really about Himself per se, but it's about pointing to what God has done for us in Christ. So again, it's interesting to just pay attention to some of the language and some of the things it says about the Spirit, the relationship of the Father, Son, the Spirit, and how really the Spirit is going to come to help bring to completion this one work of God that's begun in the sending of the Son, but it's going to be brought to completion through the Spirit.
You know, Mark, as you talk about the work of the Father, Son, and Spirit together, I want to tie that back into what you were saying earlier about being chosen. And I like the way you describe that even as we would choose God, God still has to choose us too for that to work. You know, we're not in a position that we could just do that. But you're kind of talking about the work of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and how, you know, from the beginning they're together and they're working together, and there's, you know, this community, family of love. I like what he says back in verse 16, the idea that I've appointed you, I've chosen you to bear fruit, and your fruit is going to last. And to me, that's one of the great compliments of Scripture. One of the great compliments of the Christian faith is not only do I get to be, you know, kind of connected to this divine entity, but that He's going to establish the work of our hands, that the fruit that we bear is not going to just fall away and rot, but He gives us the ability to do things that carry eternal significance and, you know, echo and resonate into the future far beyond our own capabilities.
Yes, that is that's an important point. Thank you for bringing that out, because I think we all have times where we're in the middle of whatever it is we're engaged in. It could be our family, it could be working with the church, our jobs, or we just think, what's the point of all this?
Right.
Or I have this, one of my big fears, Mark, I'll just be real candid with you and your listeners here, but, you know, thinking of myself one day on my deathbed,
right,
and think, that was it. You know, that was kind of my life, and I didn't do much. I know there's a story about J.R.R. Tolkien, who he was worried about when he was writing The Lord of the Rings, just about first not being able to finish it, but then, you know, he spent all this time on it, and so what? You know, what's going to matter with all my work, all my labor? But, and, you know, it's kind of funny looking back at that now, because that's a classic work of literature, and it's had, you know, it's going to be around for a long time. But in the middle of all that, he wondered about that. And I think that's and even if it, let's say it was never a significant literary work, the things we do for Christ, the things that really matter, last.
Right.
And are meaningful, are important. And it is fascinating just for me, Mark, and this may be something that you can bring up in Bible class too, but as you think about people who've really impacted you, or just the things that have really been significant in your life, it's not big things or famous people. It's, you know, people who have a relationship with you, who through time have done things that just shape your life forever, you know, set kind of a trajectory of your life. And so it just reminds us, if we're doing what Christ calls us to do and we're bearing fruit, that's really what's meaningful.
Right.
That's really what will last. Not some of these other things we get kind of caught up on as far as what's really important, what's really meaningful.
Right. Great. Well, Mark, you've given us a good set of things to think about as we look through John chapter 15. And we'll look forward next week to talking to you about John chapter 16.
Very good. I look forward to it.
You've been listening to the Kingdom of Growth podcast. For more resources about Christian life and leadership, or if you'd like to subscribe, be sure to check out our website, kingdomupgrowth.com.